All right. That's Joe Newman and his great band with Wednesday's Blues. I figured it's Wednesday. I figure we have the blues. Might as well play Wednesday's Blues. That's Newman on a trumpet, Frank West on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Eddie Jones on bass, and Oliver Jackson on drums. This is from Newman's 1960 album, Jive at Five. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and literally be picking up from where we left off yesterday. We had so much traffic yesterday, good traffic, of course, but we didn't have the time to accommodate everybody, so I did say since yesterday we will return to the issues that we were talking about, and we will give you ample room to stretch out and express yourselves today. I don't want you ever to forget why we have this program. It is not only to hear what you have to say, but also to help you develop your skills at using the medium. And this is one of the things that I think our community as a community, we don't do too well. And that is to get people to accept the idea that they're entitled to space, they're entitled to express themselves. But beyond that, that you have to pull your socks up, as my mother would say. You have to acquire the skills of utilizing various media outlets. This one, of course, is one that depends on sound and other media outlets, depend on what you write. Others are on what you film and so forth. But in radio, it's a discipline, like anything else. And what helps is when you understand how the medium of radio works, and therefore, how do you package your thoughts? How do you present your thoughts for our inspection and sharing so that you achieve what you set out to achieve, which is one, to be heard, two, to have something you're sharing with us that is worth sharing. You've done some kind of work to, you know, shore up your points and to understand what the medium can help you achieve. Because as one representative, let's just say, one person, you are able to change a lot when you put your package together in such a way that you complete your thought and it's all well rounded out and people can follow your lead, where you're going, where you're taking us. And therefore, we have an appreciation from you, a different point of view, but it makes sense to listen to what it is you have to say. All right, so don't feel, how should I say, don't feel so conscious, self-conscious about it. Just understand that each medium has its own way of operating, and with us in radio, we always have to be conscious of making the best use of time and making our points within that time. So if you do that, you're a good ambassador, and therefore you will not be easily challenged, you see. So you're a great asset to have in our community. And for yourself, too. It's always great when you acquire new skills, and you can feel at home in any setting because you know what you're about. You know what the task is to make your point, to shore up your point, and to bring us to a nice, logical, and smooth landing. And you can't beat that. It can't be that at all. All right, so yesterday we were talking about Donald Trump, and there were two questions in particular that I raised and that we began to discuss. As you know, he's going to be out the door soon enough. Some people would say, not soon enough, but he'll be leaving. And therefore, your mind turns to asking questions almost of a philosophical nature. So we asked two questions yesterday. You can pick either one. Have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook, particularly we're looking for factoring Donald Trump into all of that? Let me repeat the question. Have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? The second question, oh, by the way, additionally to the first question, if so, in what ways? In what ways have recent events significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? The next question is, in your view, what is Donald Trump's place in history? In your view, what is Donald Trump's place in history? There's no right or wrong, there's just your opinion. I'm looking for how you cast your opinion. How do we make sense of your opinion? That's all. Now, the number to call is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And let's see where we go today. We are adding on to the contributions that we had yesterday. And I'm waiting to see. We're still doing this thing, and it's working, but I seem to be having some trouble in my neck of the woods with connections. And I spent a great deal of time yesterday and the day before working with the carrier, because the quality of sound has me a little bit perturbed. I didn't like it. We spent a lot of time yesterday going through it, and we still haven't fixed it. Certainly not the way it ought to be sounding yet. So the question was whether it is the phone itself that I'm using, the telephone connection, or is it something with the, you know, the architecture in my area. So we haven't found that out yet, but we're working. And in the meantime, we had just one teeny tiny added step, and that is you call in to the station at 888-874-4888 the way you regularly do, but then it's relayed to me. Okay, so you have two questions, of which you may choose one, and let's hear what you are thinking at this time. 888-874-4888. I'm not seeing anything on the screen here. Okay. All right. So we're going to continue, because I always feel a little bit obligated, very obligated, as a matter of fact, when we're in the midst of a conversation and there's a great deal of response, but we can't accommodate them all because of time. So that happened yesterday, and so we extend the program today to accommodate those of you who tried to get in yesterday, or maybe just people who just heard the questions being asked today and want to participate. At 888-874-4888. Lots going on. But you know, I just can't. I can't say I can't. I don't want to have my day shaped by the constant badgering of what will Trump do next? What is Biden going to do next? We'll see. Whatever it is, we'll see. How about that? And in the meantime, what we can do is just look at things we might have missed that will become very important in our functioning in the very near future. We have to kind of look at ourselves. Are we prepared for anything that's coming? And are we going to run from it? Or are we going to be able to face it squarely and say, okay, so this is the best you can do. I'm up to it. I can deal with it and prevail. See? That's the attitude we ought to have. Instead of building within ourselves a kind of apparatuses about, they have that. And what we have to do is to prepare ourselves as best we can for the lunacy to continue and not fall victim to it. So that's why we talk. We talk to each other and give each other reinforcement. We're not crazy. We're not crazy at all. But we are usually the people who are targeted by governments and systems so that they do what they want with the confidence that we, the people, can do absolutely nothing. We ought to change that and reinforce in ourselves that we can cope. We certainly can cope, and we can get through it, whatever it is that's coming down the pike, because we have a different kind of strength. We have inner strength, and we get a lot more of it by sharing our thoughts and experiences. So are you of that mind? I welcome you aboard at 888-874-4888. Just to remind you of the questions on the table, two questions of which you may choose one to address. Let me see here. Where am I now? Okay. We're looking to address the question about how do we deal with what's coming without knowing what's coming? Or we might suspect what's coming, and we just feel so overwhelmed by it already that we don't know how do we face up to it? How do we deal with it? You're feeling exasperated, or you're feeling that you can deal with it. You have no choice but to deal with it. But we should deal with it sensibly. And we have resources. And one of the best resources we have is each other. So why don't we lean a little bit on each other and the experiences that we have and continue to have, and we can see a way. We can see a way how people are dealing with where they are in this moment in time, in our history. And you get a better sense that, you know, it's not so overwhelming that you can't even think of something that you can do. But no, you can do something. You can do something, and that is to reinforce yourself psychologically, mentally, and whatever is coming is going to come anyway. So why not just get ourselves organized mentally the best we can? All right, so the question, have recent events and experiences significantly reshaped your political thinking and outlook? If so, in what ways? The second question, in your view, what is Donald Trump's place in history? All right, those are the questions. What are you thinking as your answers? 888-874-4888. All right. We are waiting for you. You're kind of slow today. What's going on? Didn't have your Wheaties? Let's go. You're a little bit, I guess, self-conscious, because today we kind of dealing from the perspective of you and what you are thinking, what you are feeling, how you think you might cope with the situation at hand. But don't be afraid and don't be reluctant. It's a question everybody should be able to answer, apprehensive or not. What are you thinking in terms of how you're going to deal with this shift that we are making? We all are making it. But are we all thinking while we're making this shift about what is going to happen to us, and what are we doing to protect ourselves or prepare ourselves? These recent events and experiences have shaped everybody's lives, so we are no exception. The question is, in what ways are you conscious of it, that your life has been changed by the circumstances and the experiences that we have had recently and continue to have? How have you been able to weather the storm? How are you beginning to weather the storm? What are you doing to situate yourself more advantageously in this more complex world? What do you think is President Donald Trump's place in history? And why do you think so? Whatever it is, whatever you say his place in history should be, what do you think it ought to be, and why? Benji from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
This is Benji. Okay. To answer the first question, how have I changed? Well, I found myself moving from being a very devout liberal to becoming more of a libertarian, because I see that the current liberal leadership, whether it's the mayor or the mayor of New York City and the governor, they're becoming very like tyrants, you know, Copen.
Tyrannical.
Tyrannical. Yeah, I couldn't pronounce it. Thank you. They're becoming very, very controlling. I'm sure they're going to force me to take a vaccine. I don't want to take the vaccine. And they just, I don't know, it's almost like when the mayor said yesterday, we're going to shut down again. It's almost like he's gleeful. It's almost like he wants to torture us. I don't know. I think the liberals have lost their way. I'm not becoming a McConnell fan. Don't worry. I'm not becoming conservative, but I think I'm leaning towards becoming libertarian. And I tell you, I have to confess that I realize in myself that I'm becoming a little controlling of others. I work in a group home. It's a true story yesterday. And we're celebrating Hanukkah, and they had like 20 donuts in the refrigerator. They had a party Sunday night, and I was afraid that some consumers, people would eat it, and it's not good for them. So I threw it out, and I was rebuked for that. Since you had no right to throw it out. It wasn't yours to throw out. So anyways, I've noticed myself that I need to become less controlling. It's not working. You know, nobody likes to be controlled, neither do I want to be controlled. So I don't know if I'm answering your
Frenchie,
first question. Could you
tell us the distinction that you made between being liberal and libertarian?
Yeah. Gary always talks about the importance of letting people make the decision, you know. Put it out there, give the information. Like I could say, okay, donuts is not good for nobody, but to go ahead and to actually throw it out or to that's controlling. That's definitely being controlling. So I think libertarians believe in people making their own decisions. So they versus liberals. You're asking a good question. Then what is the liberal? To be liberal, I'm not sure. I probably would need some help.
Well, but you were conscious of some difference.
I was just wondering whether
you were conscious of it enough to tell us what you think is the difference.
Say again. I'll repeat it. So I was just say again what you're saying. What? I'm sorry. What?
I said you were conscious of a difference, and you made a distinction. And I was wondering whether, as you made the distinction, that you were conscious of what that distinction actually is.
And maybe it is that the liberals they believe so much in the ends justify the means that the ends justify the means, and they'll be controlling if they have to, whether it's shut down or as I'm saying. And being self-righteous, there's something wrong with liberalism that I've come to realize is no good.
There's something wrong with liberalism. you don't know what it is, but you suspect there's something wrong with it. Thank you very much, Benji, for starting us off today and with such an openness of spirit. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Sharon from New Jersey, you're on the air.
And now you were asking, were any of us going to make any changes in, you know, our political views and so forth? For me, I'm not going to. From the time I registered to vote when I was 18 years old, and that was a long time ago, I registered as a Democrat, and I am still a registered Democrat, but I have no compunctions about voting outside of the party for who I view as being the best person to sit in the office. I voted for Ralph Nader in the past. I supported Dr. Jill Stein in the last election. So what I would like to say, I'm not going to change anything. I still would watch and listen to what people who are running for even local elections, what they have to say and how I think it would benefit my town, my state, and the country. I would like to, I hope that other people after this crazy experience that we're going through now would do the same thing, you know, not think, we got to get this guy out of office and I hope whole swaths of people will put their power behind not necessarily a Democrat, but maybe put their power behind like a Green Party candidate, really learn about what's happening, learn what this person stands for, learn what what they can do to help. You know, there's a lot, there's websites, there's lots of places where you can learn and don't always have to feel like you're stuck in one place. So for me, that's not going to change. I've always been that way. So that's where I stand with that. This isn't going to change me. I like to try to keep abreast of, you know, listen to what people are saying and so forth, so on. And what was your other question?
I was just asking, in your view, where is Donald Trump's place in history, if you think he has one?
Well, he's automatically going to have a place in history. He's going to go down in history as a president of the United States. I would guess and years to come and generations to come, people are probably going to be wondering, you know, what was going on back then that they absolutely allowed, that he's like more tyrannical, you know, along the lines of an Adolf Hitler than somebody who's supposed to be running a democratic nation. He's inciting, you know, publicly inciting violence and, you know, craziness. He's not get anybody that that speaks against him, he'll blow up over. He has no, you know, no leadership qualities. He's, I don't even have a word to describe him. But anyway, his place in history is, I think people are going to be wondering what was going on in the minds of Americans that they actually allowed him to go into office. But he is going down in history because he is a president of the United States.
Well, thank you. So you're conscious of something of a reshaping, not particularly dramatic, but you're conscious of a slight shift in your view. But
With everybody, not just me as an individual, I hope everybody will start looking at things a little bit different and changing their ways of doing things. There's power, you know, in people, women's groups, you have student groups, you have minority groups and the LGBT community. These people start getting together, putting their power, you know, really learning about something else other than just a Republican or a Democrat and putting their power behind something different. I think we could really start to see some changes.
Well, thank you for calling in and contributing today. I'm glad that you did. Thank you. Leona from Michigan, you're on the air.
Greetings to you, Therese, and greetings to your audience. Can you hear me okay?
Thank you. Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, great. In terms of your question about changes in my political thinking or outlook, recent changes, I've noticed that I tend to be shooting to be more independent in my thinking, divorcing myself from this left-right stuff, whatever that was, but focusing more on the facts and what is true. I've been inspired, re-inspired recently by a Malcolm X quote that I came across again, where he says, and I quote, "I'm for truth, no matter who tells it. I'm for justice, no matter who it is for or against. I'm a human being first and foremost, and as such, I'm for whoever and whatever benefits humanity as a whole." End of quote. I've been kind of keeping tabs on this election integrity stuff, these lawsuits and this, that, and the other. It's been kind of interesting, and from following it, I've been encouraged to go for the truth. You know, be a little bit more independent in this thinking of, you know, and again, in the context of that quote from Malcolm X, that's one thing. In terms of Trump's place in history, I think he will probably be remembered as the president who was at the crossroads of the United States and North America. He was the kind of like the firecracker in a way, and he was one of the few that he had the least pretense, I would say. Instead of a wolf in sheep's clothing, he just presented himself as a wolf, you know, take it or leave it, for lack of a better analogy. And I think of something that Dick Gregory said before he passed, when Trump got elected. Dick Gregory kept referring to this book he wrote called The Shadow That Scares Me. Dick Gregory wrote that book, and I remember him mentioning one time that there's something about Trump and his administration that reminded him of the shadow that scares me. The other thing is, Trump Trump will not be remembered as a boring president. He was not boring, or is not boring. And I guess it's interesting, too, and let me wrap it up here. I saw a news article where some people in the Republican Party are now criticizing Senator Mitch McConnell for congratulating Joe Biden on being the president-elect, according to the Electoral College. And in closing, let me say this, that there's a lot of changes afoot, I think, not just with, I mean, on multiple levels. I mean, the winter solstice 2020 is coming up on December 21st this year, which will be the return of the sun, S-U-N, sun. I think there's things happening on a cosmic level, for whatever that's worth. Each and every one of us is made of stardust, if you really want to get down to it. That's another conversation. So it's a lot happening afoot, and change is the name of the game right now. Nothing's permanent but change, I guess. So, Okay. One last thing, if I could say this.
Absolutely.
I'll save it for another time. Thank you.
But don't say for another time. If you feel impelled to say it now, say it now.
All right, then. I got a secret admiration for that attorney, Sidney Powell, the one who says she's going to release the Kraken.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't agree with everything she says, but I kind of admire her courage and her seemingly willingness to, you know, go for the truth, go for the broke, as she sees it, you know. And I'm also, you know, as I said in the past, a little partial to the importance of election integrity. But, yeah, okay, so that's all I got. Thanks for listening.
That's all you got. All right, well, thank you very much for contributing it and considering us worthy of hearing it. Thanks so much for your call today. David from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. For the first part of your question, my political feelings have not changed whatsoever. They have been reinforced by the administration of Donald Trump that this system is controlled by the capitalists. And whether you have Republicans or Democrats in, things are basically the same. They have one goal, and that is the goal of making as much profit for those in charge as possible. So that's the way I handle the first part of the question. The second part about Trump's legacy, I would say there might be some people who disagree with me that, first of all, Trump is just like, as far as I'm concerned, like most presidents that I know about, he's a liar, and that's just normal behavior of, I believe, presidents. And the thing that's different about him, he seems to be more odious than others. So he draws attention to himself by that type of behavior. But the only way that this government and those who control at the top can function is to lie to the people. So that's how it works here. The lie is that the government exists for the benefit of all the people when it really doesn't. It is a government that functions first of all in the interest of those who rule at the top, that what we know is the ruling class that really runs the one party that we have, as I said many times before, Democrat, Republican have the same mission, and that's to enrich those at the top at the expense of all the other people and transfer as much wealth as possible from the bottom to the top, and that's being done. So I don't feel that Trump is a real exception when it comes to telling the truth, and he's just a little more odious. Also, I might say that it's such a wonderful thing for you to have this program, and where people have a chance to give their analysis, whether it's good or bad or whatever, an opinion. But what really impresses me about the people in your seminar is when you get people here who talk about things that they have accomplished in their community. And that is wonderful. People who have run for office, who've done things that help the community. So I really celebrate that when I hear people talking about things that they've done, never just giving opinion and that's the end of it, but actually talking about things that they have done and accomplished in their community.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks a lot for calling in, David. I appreciate it. I appreciate hearing from you today. All right, Marcus from Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Ms. Leed, thank you very much for giving me some time with you today. Excellent program, as always. Perhaps the best forum in the United States for these kinds of discussions on media, in my opinion. Speaking of which,
because
all that
we attract the best. We attract the best people there are, in my opinion. They're just the best. And that's why
that's
always
partially because of the magnet, probably the major factor.
Well, thank you. Thanks a lot.
And I would say what follows is, of course, my opinion. You asked a two-part question. I'll briefly answer both of them. How Trump may have, the Trump regime may have altered my thinking is in this respect only. For probably since before the Andrew Jackson administration, there has not been a president of the United States capable of writing a line of policy. They don't know how to do it. Their job is a figurehead. And in my opinion, the world is very much, it's not political. We don't have a political system in the United States, you know, parties that people take part in. As much as possible, power has created a controlled spectacle. When they talked a couple of decades ago about the end of history, this is what they meant. In May of 68 in Paris, there was a situationist intellectual named Guy Debord who wrote a book that's still worth reading called The Society of the Spectacle. And he pointed out that basically spontaneous history is over. Technological society is so advanced at the upper echelons that they control our view of events. And this has been the case for probably 100 years. One of the great secrets of life is that our lives are almost entirely dependent on the established doctrines of ethics and sociology and political economy and government and medical science and law. And this affects everyone, consciously or unconsciously, especially the person in the street, the so-called average person, because they assume it's just common sense. And so they're defenseless against this kind of manipulation. So the politics is unimportant. Trump represents another step toward his job, like George's Bush and George Bush's, in my opinion, is to glorify ignorance, to amplify ignorance. Stupidity is a value that the liberal left, which is now the inheritors of real fascism, they will represent the sensible opposition to this ignorance. And of course, they carry out their fascism with a smile and in a calm voice. But the fascism is the same. My personal way of dealing with this, my name is Marcus, and I was named by my mother for the ancient Stoic philosopher Marcus Aurelius, who wrote a little book called The Meditations, highly worth reading. It will help you navigate anything in life. The Stoics believed, basically as Epictetus said, it is not things in themselves which upset and distress us, but our view of them. So the essential question to be asking yourself at all times is, what am I telling myself about this? Because that's what you're going to respond to, not the events themselves, not what Trump does, not what happens around you, but what you are telling yourself about it. And so politically, socially, the way to change anything is always the same. The equation is very simple. If you do nothing, the outcome is almost certain that tyranny will prevail. But if you do something, and you have to put some analysis into what the best things are to do, if you do something, you have a chance of altering that outcome. It's that simple. It's not more complex than that. The whole political game is set up to make you think it's more complicated than that. It isn't. You have to sit down quietly with yourself and figure out, what can I do to affect the circumstances around me? And what's the best use of my time to do it? What's my best strategy? What are the tactics I should employ if I'm serious about this? And, of course, part of the project of this spectacle has been to extend our childhood well into adulthood. And so when part of the amplification of it has been focus on your feelings, on your depression, on how bad or discouraged you feel, and let that stop you. This is this terrible, awful thing that can't be overcome without lots and lots of work. No, you are capable of courage. You will find it if you sit quietly with yourself and bring it up. It's there. Everyone has it. You're not children. You are not ruled by your feelings. Your thinking can overcome your feelings. Don't say to yourself, I follow my passion. Make your passion follow you. You're perfectly capable of it. Everyone is. It's a matter of learning how to do it with yourself. So that's my answer to your questions today, Ms. Leed, and thank you.
Thank you. Quite an answer. Thank you so much for calling in. Gino from the Bronx, you're on the air.
Good day, Eutrice.
Hello, how are you?
All right. Good day to be alive again. Professor Marcus sounds like he just stepped out of the classroom. I still enjoy that Mark Twain quote he gave about a year ago. He's pretty good. Eutrice, before I answer your question, one thing with Ali, the clarification, she was right. She gave a more recent example of egregious behavior with a French doctor, and I was given the warning of 5 years ago that he spilled the beans on what they were doing. So this is great about the different facets of your audience. We all compliment and we add to put a little more light in so we get more light to put the attention on the truth and the falsehoods. So that was one thing. I ran out. I have to say also, I heard there's a new doctor on the show, I think it's Tuesdays. He recommended to listen to Dr. Peter Breggin last week. I listened to him this morning, and all those concerned about the COVID situation, you got to hit Dr. Peter Breggin with another doctor who's actually treating people with other alternatives, and it is really a life or death show. So there are doctors doing things with protocols. There's the concerns about the vaccines, as you mentioned before, and he gives good reasons why to be concerned. And even Dr. Peter Breggin said that's probably the best show that's ever been put out there on his show. So all you folks out there in Michigan and here and there and here and there, and where's Hawaii? Give a listen to last week's show with Dr. Peter Breggin, because it's a life and death situation. Now, as far as Trump, I see him as a free stress test. All these... These years, he's been able to let me see how well my meditations are going, if I had a good one that day or not. And as far as Marcus touched on it, it definitely pointed out the lack of education in this country, that so many people could follow him like a cult figure, where they don't think for themselves. They just follow, and I guess it shows a lot of people are not that educated. Well, I don't guess. I know a lot of people are not that educated to even vote for him to begin with. So, and the last point is on the philosophical nature. I won't get into it too much today, but I never really, unveiled my deepest thoughts and feelings and experiences on that. Perhaps we could do that on a Friday, where it's a free your mind Friday. There's not too many minutes left, but I would like to share something with you, because I don't know if you're going to be here next year. I don't know if I'm going to be here next year. I don't know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. So how we learn from each other, how much we give to others, like I tell a lot of people. I went out today into my neighborhood. I told people about the show with Dr. Peter Breggin that they must listen to it. These are a nonprofit organization that deals with a lot of people in my neighborhood. I know these people. I told people where I buy my raviolis. You never know. The Monsignor comes across the street. Chaz Palminteri comes down. Let these people know this is a life and death show. So we share the information. We also share it amongst ourselves. We take it out and publicize the radio station where there's no commercials. And we have folks such as you and Gary and Dr. Peter Breggin and all the others who contribute to, without commercials, to helping us wake up even further. So, and I like the idea with the other caller who says, sweep your streets. Yes, I pick up broken bottles when I come back. I pick up bottles before they get broke. What's if there's paper in my hallway? People see me doing it. They see me feed the cats. They say, oh, the cat man. I said, yeah, cat man do. He do. He does. And they keep away the rats. So little things,
the cat
man they notice.
Do. All right.
And they notice. They know. And I tell them, you want cats, you want rats. And, little things that people observe, and slowly but surely, I've seen somebody else start to sweep or picking up bottles. So it takes time for most people to realize, let's not just complain. Let's do, within our own sphere. And I like that idea
Are we going to hear from you at least one sentence having to do with where will the president belong once he leaves office?
He belongs out of office, but where does he belong? He belongs in a re-educational center. Yeah, where does he in history? I think he'll go down as showing that the pundits were wrong again, that they all predicted he would be wrong, and they've been wrong about so many things, and that shows that they really don't know themselves what they're talking about. So that's one good thing about it, that the mainstream media predicted he would never win. He did. Once again, they're wrong. They got egg on their face. So somebody who's got the courage and possibly independent finances step into the loop coming up the road and do something courageous and intelligent and help the people to really, put a new deal for the people, not the bankers, the people. Because without that, we're going to create a situation conducive to somebody worse than him to come along. So I hope
somebody out there
does step forward. So
thank you very much. We have to leave it right there today. Thank you, Gino, for your call. Thanks, everyone, for your calls and for sharing your thoughts today. We'll still continue discussing this because we're still a bit uncomfortable, and you could sense it. Not everybody is, but there's a great deal of discomfort in people might think, well, it's putting my stuff out there too soon. And I'll wait for momentum to build and then add to it. No, it's a good time to share. Because you're thinking, it's burgeoning, it's gelling, and that's where we all are. What are we to think in this time that we're in? And what is going to help pull us through it? Literally, it's in our heads. It's called the brain. We have to think a little differently and have faith that we're not crazy. We're not crazy. We have to think logically. We have to think. I want to thank you so much for contributing and for being brave enough to do that, because it is an intimate thing to do, to share your brain power, to let people see what you're thinking. But you do it so readily and willingly. It is a great tribute to pay to the program and those who listen to it. I thank you very much for that. We'll join each other again tomorrow, and we'll see where it goes. Bye-bye.